Books, welcome to Fauna Now.
Thank
you. We are going through your profile. I think you really have an amazing journey.
Could I have you do some reading?
As a clinical scientist, I really wanted to deep dive into your journey. How you started, how you ended up being a clinical scientist?
Yeah.
How is the journey started from your graduation to schooling day? Just wanted to understand.
So, I'm a pharmacy graduate, and during my graduation days, I never thought that I would enter into a field of clinical research or research and development. Post my graduation, I was looking to go abroad to do for my higher education, and somebody suggested me to go to Germany, where there's a lot of life sciences research happening. And so that's where I went and did my master's, and I did my PhD. And during my PhD days is where, I started working in clinical trials. I closely worked on cholesterol drugs, and how they people respond and non-respond to them, and sort of thing called pharmacogenetics, where you measure the responsiveness of particular drug and link it to the genetic constitution of certain transporters. So that's my first instance when I started working on clinical trials. I got interested in it because it is a very important step during the drug development process. Then I continued my journey, and it's almost close to 25 years I've been working in clinical trials, doing the first in human to phase 2s, phase 3s, until the post-marketing studies. So post my stint in Germany, I moved back to India. I was working with Ranbaxy as a senior scientist in their medical affairs clinical research group. I worked there for a couple of years in Ranbaxy, did a lot of clinical trials for Indian submissions. Then I moved on to a company called Allergan, which is based out of Bangalore. And I worked on the Euro-Neuro drugs. The studies are mainly done for US FDA submissions. And later on, I was heading the entire development center for Allergan in Bangalore. Then from there, I moved to a company called Novartis, which is in Hyderabad, as a clinical trial head. And I was working on very important drug for rheumatoid arthritis and ankylosing spondylitis. And I ran two large global trials, sitting here from Hyderabad and managing teams across the globes. And from Novartis, I moved to a company called Clinigene. I was working Clinigene as the head and managing all operations of Clinigene, which was eventually merged into Syngene and became Syngene Clinical Development. Post that, I had a very short stint in Equia, Quintiles, former Quintiles. And then for past 7 years, I'm working in biologically developing vaccines, working on vaccines, and this has been my journey for the past 7 years.
Wow. So I think you are mentioning about vaccine. I'm very curious about, I heard you were one of the contributors during the vaccine creation of COVID.
Yeah.
COVID time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to understand, what was that time like?
Yeah, the entire COVID time for everyone, personally, professionally, it was changing, life-changing, challenging, we had to balance our personal life with our office responsibilities, and being in the vaccine world and, trying to working on developing a vaccine for COVID was very challenging. Doing a clinical trial, we can't sit inside and do a clinical trial. We have to venture out, we have to go to the sites, we have to work with hospitals and all these things. So it was a very challenging time. During the lockdown and during the entire period of the waves, the first wave, second wave, and subsequent Omicron wave, it was very challenging. First thing is to convince people to come and participate trial during lockdowns, and doing managing all the logistics, and then the problem with COVID virus and developing vaccine for COVID virus was because it's the first time nobody had no idea what is happening. There are treatments coming every day, new treatments or, refashioned or reworked, refabricated iterations. But for vaccines, we didn't have any guidelines to say, this is what you have to do and this is where it takes to have a successful vaccine. So we have to collaborate with a lot of external agencies, a lot of scientific advisors to help us. But it was a very challenging time. And thankfully, the Indian regulators and Indian government also helped us very well. With helping us on timely approvals and facilitating us and guiding us with the approval processes very well.
But what was the overall experience? Like, I know it's a bit a challenge.
Yeah.
You are not allowed to move.
Yeah.
And still you want to go to the trials.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is very challenging because first thing that I can come back to the movement space, you know, a lot of times we have to do work remotely. So we couldn't go to the clinical trial sites or the hospitals where the clinical trials are on a regular basis to get the data. So we used a lot of digital technology there, trying to get the information. And it was very, very widely used, and that challenge was overcome because there was no physical contact and a lot of things were running over the online, on web meetings and, you know, a lot of things. Even our interactions with the doctors or the people conducting the clinical trials or the regulators who are looking at our data, giving approvals to our clinical studies or our products, it was all done very remotely. It was very challenging because we were never used to that thing, you know, because for example, IT companies or, you know, a lot of multinational pharma companies have that infrastructure wherein, you know, they have this possibilities of working from home and, you know, this kind of things, which was not there for us, and we had to really invent new ways to work with the sites, work with our external collaborators, and also within our, you know, and certain amount of times is risky also because although there was lockdown, but we had special permissions to travel. Yeah. Our employees had special permissions to travel. So my team did an excellent job of, you know, risking, you know, because during second wave, I remember, you know, that to travel across India to get, you know, the things on time, you know, maybe results or maybe the material, everything, they worked day in and day hard, and, you know, so that there's on time availability of data. So it is very difficult, very challenging, and if I think it was very nightmarish to relive all the things, but I think all of my team, you know, all of a team, you know, who we worked for this vaccine, we were driven with the sense of purpose that, you know, we are doing something good for, you know, the public health and how people. By the time, you know, there are other vaccines which are coming up, and, you know, we are also wanted to be one of those vaccines, and thank God, you know, everything went on well, and we had an excellent vaccine with a great safety profile, and we were able to vaccinate close to around 8 crore kids, you know, because our vaccine was approved from 5 years to above age. The government used the vaccines for kids between 12 to 14 years or 15 years. You know, so around almost 8 crore people have received the COVID vaccine, and, you know, it was. And then we also did a couple of other studies doing as a booster dose for people who have already received the COVID vaccines. So it's pretty challenging, right? I just can't summarize in such a short time, but it was very challenging.
At the end of the COVID now,
yeah.
What is the sense of satisfaction?
I think that there'll be a lot of questions on vaccines when it comes, you know, did vaccines really work, you know, then when people talk about the safety issues arising over the vaccines. But I think literally, at least because people might feel I'm biased because I'm from vaccine industry, I'm saying like this, but literally vaccine saved the COVID pandemic, you know, people from the COVID pandemic. If not for vaccines, it would have been much more difficult, you know, the way it was controlled. Okay, there were a lot of lockdowns and, you know, the other public safety measures helped, but definitely vaccines had a major role to play part in eradication of the pandemic.
Coming back to the clinical development side.
Yeah.
So, I think after the COVID, AI has got into it.
Yeah.
They had worried.
Yeah.
A lot of things are changing in clinical development.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are those innovations you can pursue?
See, the adoption of AI in clinical trials is coming up right now. I think in a lot of multinational companies are working on that. They're doing their pilot runs that sometimes you're doing in the real world also doing. But it is something which we have to look forward for. You know, it is going to change. It is going to impact every one of us. Like how AI is impacting in other parts of life, it would impact in clinical trials. Like, you know, for example, with the use of artificial intelligence, we can try to find out where our patients are for the clinical trials. We can search through the databases to find out where the patients are, who will be eligible to participate in clinical trials. And you can develop such an digital technologies for example, you know, recently, you know, I was talking in another conference, one of my colleague was talking about wearable device, like it is like a watch or something which would be consistently monitoring and taking the data and relaying back to the clinical data which is required for the thing. They're doing a lot of, otherwise the earlier days, the clinical trial participant or the volunteer should fill in that data in some paper or a diary, and then that should to be get transmitted. There would be a lot of transcription errors, errors which would not be useful for the data, would not be useful. But with this real-time monitoring, real-time collection of data with these wearable devices, and then there is a lot of analytics coming in the signal detection for safety, wherein artificial intelligence is used to see the how the product is, safety is monitored.
Yeah, certainly. So, what do you think? What is going to be the future of medicine other than AI? What all things you are expecting that the things will change?
See, I think clinical development is an essential part of the roadmap of a roadmap for a drug to develop in the drug development process, because it's the last step before it gets to an approval. Because it's the first time when the drug is given to humans, and then subsequently the safety, the efficacy is measured in smaller subsets, then in larger subsets, then in a much more larger population. So I think the process will be the same. But digitalization coming into this aspect would shorten a lot of timelines.
Yeah.
Use of digital technology for everything. It might be in at any phase of trial or after the trial. For example, you know, there is a lot of review needs to be done, you know. And there's sometimes done manually. But if you write algorithm of AI and it is reduced, the timelines for you to do a clinical trial and bring to product to market decreases. So that is going to come very, you know, that is going to become very soon to how we do the clinical trials in the future.
Amazing.
Another
question here is, now the world has become a one global language, right? There is a lot of collaborations globally. What is in the case of clinical development?
Yeah.
The global collaborations are happening.
Yeah. See, I think that happened very well. That's always a global thing, clinical trial. Although it again there's a lot of privacy of data, and second thing is that a lot of intellectual property is also something to be considered. So you can't share everything. But during COVID, I think it is very interesting that all the companies published their protocols, all the companies published their data. So that everyone had access to the data of what others are doing, what's the safety of things. So that is a very, very changing thing which I saw during that thing. Like earlier, if there is a phase 3 pivotal protocol, it is very secret, it's very confidential. Now that is available, that during the COVID times, for all the COVID vaccines, it is available online. All the major companies, multinational companies, shared the knowledge, shared their safety data with each other to do it. And that is it. And coming back to what we do, there's a lot of cooperation within our partners, you know, because we in India, we are working with other partners who are located in other Europe, US, so we work with them a lot, collaborate with them. We jointly develop certain vaccines with them, you know, so that is happening. So a lot of companies are cross-collaborating within their companies to develop new things, that because there is more exchange of ideas. And there is, you know, we might have something, they might have something, you know, that brings this together. So that makes things move very faster. And we can learn from them, they can learn from us. And that's changing a lot. Yeah.
So how many vaccines you have created?
I'm in, you know, clinical, it's not me, it's our entire team. It's a larger team of, when you talk about R&D, you know, and it starts from the conceptualization of the vaccine till doing the animal testing, animal toxicology, preclinical, then bringing it to chemicals. So there are a lot of people involved in that. When it comes to clinical development of these vaccines, you know, I think for the past 7 years, me and my team have worked close to around 6 vaccines.
Okay.
And brought them to marketing approval and also WHO pre-qualification. Other than the Corbivax vaccine, which was went into the COVID, We worked on development. Me and our team worked on development, clinical development of pneumococcal conjugate vaccine, a 14 valent, which is the highest valent vaccine present in India. And the great thing about this vaccine is the entire vaccine was developed with the technology, with indigenous technology, starting from the basic concept to the product. Biologically, and its scientists had invested a lot of time in that, close to around nine to 10 years for developing a vaccine. This is one of the biggest achievement for us as a company, and you know, it's a great opportunity for us to learn. And it being the highest valent vaccine right now within available in India, and which is very affordable, and which is a very life-saving vaccine for infants for against all pneumococcal diseases. It is a very great achievement. You know, I think a lot of people would work in different phases of trial, but me and my team was fortunate to be part of the entire development of these vaccines, all the process, still in.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The last question for you. From a pharmacy of the world.
Yeah.
And we are moving towards that.
Yeah.
So people want to get into it.
Yeah.
So what advice for these people who want to get into clinical trial, development?
Yeah. See, I think the challenge for any pharma student, I was a student, is, you know, which I learned, we are very theory-based education system, academics. We don't know how to apply it. And fortunately, because of my training in Europe, in Germany, changed the entire way of how I think. So whenever I come back, whenever I talk with the Indian students, I always tell them, you know, don't, you know, learn theory, but see how it is going to be applied. That is very important. It's very crucial. And most of the times we get confused. Why am I reading this? You know, we don't even know why am I doing this. But if you understand the basic thing behind it, I think it's not fault of the student. It's fault of the somewhere, you know, the academics itself is they're not put. I don't know. I didn't review current academics, how things are. Right? I'm also going back to my days, but I think now it has evolved a lot. I think a lot of people are going and working, doing their internships, working, trying to gather that experience. Because when we were studying, the internships were, you know, it is a very, you know, big word. You know, it's not get used to get into the industry, but they not allow you to touch anything. You have to just sit and watch and whatever it is. But I think things have improved. I think the academics have improved. And my advice to people, students, the upcoming people who want to pursue career, either in pharma, either in clinical development, either in research and development, everything, is to see that they know how to translate theory to practical. That's how they have to put in. And it's a wide opportunity. A lot of people run behind IT jobs or whatever, but this, I think the life sciences jobs are, you know, future. That's what I see.
Certainly, I think this is a very important message for every new generation.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ravi.